Take your Bibles, if you would, Luke chapter 22. We're going to try to finish up the chapter tonight. We've got two more chapters after this. We left our Bible study last week with Jesus being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so we start tonight in verse 54 of Luke chapter 22, where the Bible says, "Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off." Now, in the book of Matthew, the Bible tells us that when Jesus was arrested in the garden, that all the disciples forsook him and fled. And so when the temple guard and the high priest and the elders and the Roman soldiers arrested Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, all the disciples, except for Judas, because he was the one leading the pack that arrested him, but the other 11 skedaddled. They didn't stick around. They ran. And I'm sure there was more than just Peter that in the upper room that promised their loyalty to Jesus. Now, we know he did because it's recorded. But I'm sure as Jesus said, as they sat around the table, one of you is going to betray me. And they began to ask who it was. Is it I? That they either all said aloud or they said in their hearts and minds, well, it won't be me. I'm going to stick with Jesus till death if that's what it takes. When they came to arrest him, they all fled. Now, John records that, first of all, Jesus was taken before Annas, the former high priest. Now, Annas was the father-in-law of the current high priest, but Jesus was taken to him first, probably for two reasons. It was the middle of the night, probably after midnight. The Sanhedrin, or the Jewish ruling council, didn't know exactly when Jesus was going to be arrested. And so they had to assemble. There were 70 different men that belonged to that council, so they had to round them all up. And so they probably took Jesus to Annas first so that he could start the mockery of a trial. And their hope was, by him talking to Christ, Jesus would say something that they could use against him. Okay? Now, the other reason was Annas it was in good stead with the Romans. And so if he found a charge and supported that charge, Pilate would probably agree, just because of the relationship that Annas and Pilate had. Well, so Annas talked to him. Bible doesn't record that he found anything that he could use against Jesus, so he sent him to the Sanhedrin. The council had come into session at that point. Now, Luke just says here in verse 54, they brought him to the high priest's house. Now, in all probability, Caiaphas, who was the high priest at the time, who was Annas' son-in-law, they probably lived in the same building, okay? And so Luke just records, instead of saying, you know, they take him to Annas, or that they just took him to the high priest's house. And it says that Peter followed afar off. Now, again, it was a group that was consisted of temple guards, which were Jewish guards. There were some Roman soldiers. Some of the high priest staff was there. And some of the elders were there. Okay, so you had this procession, this little band of men, so to speak, that was leading Jesus to the high priest's house. And when he was arrested, Peter had fled with the other 10 disciples, but when they saw him going toward the high priest's house, he followed afar. Now, John, in his gospel, notes that when they got to the high priest's house, one of the disciples gained entry. Now, again, that was probably John himself. Remember, in his gospel, he never named himself. He always talked about himself in the third person. So John knew the people that kept the door at the high priest's house enough that he was actually able to get into the courtyard and into the house, or the hall, where the Sanhedrin was meeting and where Jesus was being questioned. And then we also know from John that John talked to the girl that kept the gate of the courtyard and got Peter in to the courtyard. Not into the house, but into the courtyard. So again, when he was arrested, all 11 of the disciples fled, but an hour or so later, two of them Peter and John are with Jesus. John's a lot closer inside the actual house. Peter's in the courtyard. Verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, or in the courtyard itself, and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. So it was a cool night, and when the temple guards and the Roman soldiers and the elders, and now maybe the elders got to go into the house itself, but the rest of them that had arrested Jesus came into the courtyard of the high priest's house, and because it was cold, they started a fire. Again, Peter had got into the courtyard based on the influence of John with the gatekeeper, and when they started the fire, because it was cold, he just sat down with them. He sat in the midst of them. He warmed himself by the fire. In verse 56, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. So a certain maiden, probably a servant in the high priest's house, was sitting around the fire. She took a look at Peter. And it says there that she earnestly looked on him. So she studied his face and then said, hey, this man was with Jesus. This man right here that's sitting around the fire with us, he is one of Jesus' disciples. He was with Jesus. In verse 57, and he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. So Peter denied that he even knew Christ. Again, I don't know him. You're wrong. I'm not one of his disciples. I don't even know him. Verse 58, and after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. So a little time passes. They're still sitting around the fire, probably talking around the fire. And another person looks at Peter and said, hey, you are one of his disciples. You may deny it, but I recognize you. And again, he might have been one that was in the garden, in the band of men that arrested Christ. So he said, yes, you are. You are one of him. And again, Peter denies. He said, no, man. He said, man, I am not. I am not one of his number. I am not one of his disciples. Then verse 59. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. So it appears that they were going to just let this go, okay? But after an hour passes, another man says, no, hey, regardless of what you say, you were with him. You are one of his because you're a Galilean. Now, in the book of Matthew and Mark, both of those writers say, added the phrase, because thy speech betrayest thou. If you were from Galilee, you had a different accent than if you were from Judea. And apparently Peter had joined into the conversation. And they could tell by his accent or the way that he spoke that he was from Galilee. Jesus had made his headquarters in Galilee, and many of his disciples came from Galilee, like Peter and his brother Andrew and James and John and some of the other disciples. And so as they listened to him talk, as they looked at his face, they recognized him and said, hey, regardless of what you say, regardless of your denials, we know that you are one of his disciples. And the last time they said, because you talk. You talk like the people that are from the same area that he is. Now, Luke doesn't mention it, but in Matthew and Mark, both of them say this third denial, as part of this third denial, Peter began to swear. And Peter probably thought, well, if my speech is going to give me away as the disciple, I'm going to use words and I'm going to say things so that they'll know I'm not a disciple. A disciple of Jesus wouldn't swear. And so I'm just going to add some spice to this conversation. And if they're going to accuse me based on my language, then I'm going to give them language so they'll know that I'm not one of his disciples. And as Peter was saying that, making that third denial, as he was swearing, the Bible says that he heard a rooster crow. He heard the cock crow. Now, just stop for a second. Why did Peter deny him? Why the one that said just a few hours earlier, when Jesus had said, hey, you are going to betray me, the one that said, all these other guys, this is what he said, all these other guys may betray you, but not me. I'm ready to go to prison with you. I'm ready to die with you. All these other guys may forsake you, but not me. Well, why would a few hours later Peter three times deny that he knew Christ? Well, it's very simple. He was afraid for his life. I mean, they had arrested Jesus. He probably thought it's not going to be long before they come for his disciples. I mean, if they want to stamp out what Jesus is doing, one of the best ways to do that is to arrest all of us. And remember, Peter was the one that had resisted in the garden. I mean, he had taken one of the two swords that they had and cut off Malchus's, one of the servants of the high priest. He cut off his right ear. And I'm sure Peter thought, well, I'm, the high priest is not going to forgive that. It's not, even though Jesus healed him, he's not going to forget that one of his disciples, you know, attacked one of his servants. And so, and again, those servants and those temple guards were the ones sitting around the fire, some of who probably were the ones that said they recognized him. And Peter, to save his own skin, to save his own life, said, no, I don't know him. I'm not one of his disciples. I don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. You've mistaken me for somebody else. I am not one of his disciples. And the third time he did it, he added swearing to it. And then again, this third time, as he was denying Christ, he heard this rooster crow, and he remembered what Jesus had said unto him. I mean, when they were in the upper room a few hours beforehand, Jesus had told Peter, he had prophesied. He said, Peter, but before the cock crow, before the rooster crows in the morning, you are going to deny me three times. Three times. Now look at verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Behold, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now again, Peter was in the courtyard, but he was in a position that he could see Jesus standing before the Sanhedrin. And Jesus was standing in a spot that he could see Peter sitting around the fire. And when Jesus heard the rooster crow, he turned his head and looked at Peter. I think they locked eyes. I mean, I think Peter knew that Jesus was looking at him, and Jesus was looking at him. And when Jesus looked at him, the warning that Jesus had given him, the prophecy that he had said, hey, before the cock crows in the morning, you're going to deny me, just overwhelmed Peter. And it says in verse 62, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. He was brokenhearted. He was a broken man. I mean, he had an opportunity to stand for his master. He had an opportunity to stand for Christ, and he had pledged his loyalty. He said, I'm willing to go with you to death. And yet, when he had the opportunity to stand and say, yes, I'm one of his disciples. Do what you will to me. I'm not ashamed to be identified with him. I'm not ashamed to be counted one of the number. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I followed him, and I will continue to follow him. But when he had that opportunity, he failed, and it broke him. And he went out and wept. He wept bitterly. Now, again, some Christians may condemn Peter and say, what a lousy follower, what a lousy disciple. But again, I would just ask those that condemn Peter to think of the times they denied Christ, where they had the opportunity to stand for him, where they had the opportunity to say a word for him. They had an opportunity to be identified as one of his followers, to be identified as one of his disciples, and they denied him. And they didn't weep. It didn't break their heart. When we realize that we've passed up an opportunity to stand for our Savior. And sometimes I think we know that we're doing it. Other times I don't think we know that we've missed an opportunity till after it's over. But regardless, whether it's by commission or omission, when we realize we've let an opportunity slip to stand for our Savior, to identify with him as one of his followers, when we realize that we've missed an opportunity to do that, it ought to break our heart. We ought to weep bitterly. We ought to ask his forgiveness. Verse 63. Well, before we go to verse 63, let me just talk about the trial that's coming. If you look at the trial of Christ, it can be divided into two parts. It can be divided into the Jewish part, and it could be divided into the Roman part. The Jewish part, the first part was when he stood before Annas, stood before the former high priest. The second part is when he stood before the Sanhedrin, the ruling Jewish body, in the middle of the night, before dawn, okay? And we're going to talk about this a little bit later. It was illegal for the Sanhedrin to meet in the middle of the night. And so they had to meet again the next morning to do again what they'd done in the middle of the night to make it legal. So that was the third part of the Jewish trial. And Annas, the first one, the trial before the Sanhedrin in the middle of the night, and then the trial before the Sanhedrin after the sun rose, after dawn. And then the three parts of the Roman, it was before Pilate, before Herod, and then back before Pilate. Probably Peter's denial took place in the first meeting with the Sanhedrin in the middle of the night. Now, Jesus had already been forced under oath to admit that he was the Messiah. Okay? This probably occurred, and we read this from the other Gospels, this probably occurred about the time the cock crowed. He was under oath, and so they asked him if he was the Messiah. And if he had said no, he would have been committing perjury. And so he had admitted that he was the Messiah. When the high priest Caiaphas heard that, he accused him of blasphemy. And according to Jewish custom, when somebody that blasphemed God stood before the high priest tore his clothes. Caiaphas did that. And then, again, contrary to law, he asked for a verdict. And in the middle of the night, the Sanhedrin unanimously declared Jesus had committed blasphemy because he identified himself as the Son of God, equating himself with God, and that he was worthy of death. And when that happened, bedlam broke loose. And look in verse 63. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. They began to make fun of him. They began to beat him. Verse 64, and when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? So they put a band around his eyes. They began to hit him in the face. And they said, hey, you're God, tell us who hit you. Verse 65, and many other things blasphemously spake they against him. They mocked Christ. They made fun of him. They said all sorts of wicked things about them. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus has said, hey, you have your hour now. It's an hour of darkness. And indeed, he was in the hour of darkness where the restraint of God had been taken off and evil was able to do whatever they wanted to do to the Son of God. Now, verse 66. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying. Now, again, according to Jewish law, they could not meet in the middle of the night. They could not reach a verdict in the middle of the night. So when morning came, they had to reconvene. They had to make it legal Okay? So they reconvened. They brought Jesus again before them, and they asked the question, verses 67 and 68, "Art thou the Christ? Tell us." And he said unto them, "If I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go." And so, again, to reconfirm what they had passed upon in the middle of the night, they just ask him a simple question. Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Now, again, all throughout his ministry, Jesus avoided using the title Messiah or the Christ in front of the Jewish leaders. He knew that he always called himself the Son of Man, especially in the book of Luke. He referred to himself as the Son of Man. And so he did not repeat his confession, so to speak, here that he was the Christ. He just said, "If I tell you, and I've already told you, I've already swore under oath that I'm the Messiah." But he says, "If I tell you, you won't believe me. And if I also ask you, if I ask you, do you believe I'm the Messiah? You won't answer me, and you're not going to let me go." And so, since he'd already admitted that he was, and he wasn't under oath anymore, he just asked him this question. But then he added something. He said in verse 69, "Hereafter shall the Son of Man," again, talking about himself. Notice he didn't use the word Christ or Messiah there. "Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." Here's what he was saying. He said, "Hey, I am the Messiah. I am equal with God. And even though you're going to kill me, I know you're going to kill me, I'm going to live on. I'm going to live on in power and glory. I'm going to be sitting at God's right hand. And I stand before you. You're my judges today, but one day I'm going to be your judge." Verse 70. "Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, Ye say that I am." By the questions they ask, by the way they approached him, they were in fact admitting, declaring that they knew that he was the Son of God. Verse 71. "And they said, What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth." They said, "We don't need to call any other witnesses. We don't need to have any other testimony. We've heard him say it himself. He claims to be the Messiah. He claims to be the Son of God. According to our law, he is guilty of blasphemy, and he deserves to die." Now again, the trial that they had for Christ was illegal in every respect. Part of Jewish law was those that arrested you could not be part of your trial. It was a separation, okay? You could not sit in judgment on somebody that you had arrested. I mean, you could testify at the trial like police testify today, but according to Jewish law, you could not be a high priest in on judgment if you had taken part in the arrest of the person. They had broken that law. They had held a trial at night. That was against the law. He had been accused by false witnesses. That was against the law. He was forced to testify against himself. That was against the law. In a Jewish trial, the younger members of the Sanhedrin voted first so they wouldn't be influenced by the older members of the Sanhedrin. In this case, Caiaphas voted first. The high priest says he's guilty of blasphemy. He was the high priest. He influenced everybody else that voted after him. Here's something else. Under Jewish law, if a verdict came back unanimously guilty, the law figured there must be something wrong, and so a unanimous guilty verdict was like a not guilty verdict. Because they didn't think that you could reach a unanimous guilty verdict, and they thought there must be something wrong with this trial, and so you were automatically acquitted if it came back unanimous. He was abused at his trial. That was not supposed to happen. And he was sentenced to death on the same day that he was found guilty. That was against the law. They were not supposed to pass the sentence of death the same day that they found him guilty. So it was illegal in a lot of respects. They tried to meet after the sun rose to add some legality to it, but they couldn't undo the injustice they had done. I mean, they were the ones that were supposed to be the keepers of the law. They were the ones that defended the law. And yet, when it came to Christ, they broke about every law they had when it came to a Jewish trial. And when they met in the day, they did nothing to undo the injustice that they had done to the Son of God. So we'll pick up in chapter 23 next week. Thank you for being here tonight. The men and ladies will be praying if you'd like to join them. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.